Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's very enjoyable. I highly, highly recommend it if you get the opportunity. I don't know what it's like to have my team be in. Well, I do. It happened when I was a child. As an adult, I don't know what it's like to have my team be in a World Series. And granted, even if they won that game, they still would have had to go back to Los Angeles and win 2 of 2. But they would have had every bit of the momentum, right? The Dodgers won 3 in a row. Why couldn't the Yankees? And if the Dodgers won 3 in a row and the Yankees could win 3 in a row, now we just got to play a one-game series. You don't look at it anymore and go, okay, now we got to win a 4th in a row. No, no, no. You go, series is tied. It's a one-game series. Winner take all. Let's go play this damn game, right? But instead of waking up today and talking about how jazzed I was about a Game 6 coming up on Friday and a Game 7 coming up on Saturday, instead, what we have to talk about is the fact that the Yankees shot themselves in the foot, as the expression goes. The Yankees, and if you've listened to the show, you know my favorite expression is not shot themselves in the foot. And I've never felt this expression more than I did last night for the Yankees. Slammed their own genitalia in the door last night. That's what it felt like happened. It felt like that series was right. At least, I'm not going to say the series was there for the tanking, but they went with their ace, Jack Flaherty. You chased that guy who was good in game one, real good in game one. You took a guy who was dominant in game one. You chased them after 1.1 innings. You chased them after 1.1 innings that you knocked 4 runs off of him. If you get an ace out of the game with 4 runs after 1.1 innings, you got to go win that baseball game. And the Yankees were very much in a position to do it. Very much in a position to do it. Because they chased the ace after 1.1 and 4 runs. You got to go win that game. And the Yanks were very much in a position to go win that game. And instead, even having 5 runs in the fifth, going into the fifth, they should have ended the fifth inning like at the worst 5-1, maybe 5-2. Like at the worst, it should have been 5-1, 5-2. Instead, it was 5-5 because the Yankees couldn't stop tripping over their own junk over and over and over and over and over. It was, I don't know else to put it. I was embarrassed for the Yankees last night. If you get into the biggest spot of the year, if you get into the biggest spot of the year, and that is what you come up with, the biggest spot of the year, and that's the best you can do, that's a bummer, dude. Which is too bad because you were the best team in the American League start to finish. There was a couple of weeks here and there where like Baltimore had a better record, couple of weeks here and there that Cleveland had a better record, and that's fine. But start to finish, wire to wire, which you should listen to every weekday from 3 to 7 here on the Fan Upstate. Start to finish, wire to wire, nobody was better than the New York Yankees. Start to finish, wire to wire, they were the best team in the American League. And in the spot that you were in last night, where you got the Dodgers on the ropes, you ran their ace after 1.1. You put 5 spot up on them, including 4 against the ace. You're hitting the ball well. You're seeing the ball well. All this is going down. And then you get to the fifth inning, and you let the Dodgers be the Dodgers. For the record, the Dodgers weren't really doing anything special last night, man. Like, what they were doing last night, respectfully, wasn't special. They didn't have guys that were blasting the ball into orbit like Freddie Freeman. I kept waiting for the Freddie Freeman dinger. He didn't get it last night. You finally woke up Aaron Judge. Like, everything was right there. and they just blew it. They just blew it. I mean, that's all there is to it. The Dodgers won the series for sure by being a better baseball team. The Dodgers won the series by being a better baseball team, but the Yankees lost game five by being making mistakes. Mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. You got exactly what you needed out of Gerrit Cole up until the fifth inning. He had five recorded against him in the fifth. He should have had two. But the Yankees were committing errors, throwing errors, fielding errors. I've got catcher interference. And you can't, how do you have catcher interference in the World Series? Right? Like you've got to know better. You've got to be better. I've got Gerrit Cole on a Mookie Betts dribbler to first base. Gerrit Cole forgets how to play baseball, right? This is basic stuff. This is basic stuff. If the ball dribbles over to first base and you're a pitcher, go cover the bag. Even if you start sprinting over there and the first baseman waves you off, says, don't worry about it. I got wheels. I got this. Go cover first base. Gerrit Cole watches a shot over to the first baseman. Watches a dribbler over to first. And you know what he does? I was watching it live. I genuinely looked. I was texting my little brother at this point, and I said, they just lost the game. Watch. He goes, what do you mean? I said, they just watched the game. Watch. And they show Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole throws the ball, watches the ball go rolling over to first base. He turns, and he points and looks to celebrate the out. Guy, you only get the out if you go. You have to go over there. You're the guy who gets the out. My nephew's seven, and he knows that if you're the pitcher and the ball goes to first, you go cover the bag. Even if the first base doesn't need you, he can wave you off. You get over there just in case something happens. You're there to get the force out. And I got Gerrit Cole. I got Gerrit Cole pointing over to the first baseman in celebration. Yeah, attaboy, good catch. He looks at him. He's like, I can't beat Mookie Betts. Like, you're fine if that's, you know, Daniel Vogelback. If that's Giancarlo Stanton, sure, he's got all the time he needs to make it to the bag, cook a lunch, eat it, take a nap before Stanton gets there. That's Mookie Betts. That's one of the fastest guys in baseball. You got to go cover that bag, dog. And if Gerrit Cole gets over and covers that bag, the Dodgers probably end the fifth inning no better off than 5-2. Instead, it's 5-5. We got a brand new ball game for 6, 7, 8, and 9. And as I said last night, the Dodgers were always going to be in a better position in the 7th, 8th, and 9th off the bump. That's why they punted in Game 4, to set themselves up to be good towards the end, down the stretch in Game 5, and they were. Except instead of going to the pen, and Tryon did great, by the way. The man went out through, what did he throw, 36 pitches? Three off the pace for most he's ever thrown in his career, which was 39. And then they say, you know what, Walker Buehler, you were going to be our Game 5 starter, or Game 6 starter. They rolled the dice on this one. They rolled the dice, because if the Dodgers don't win that game, now you've burned your Game 6 starter, which means you got to move everybody up, which means there's a threat that Game 7 is a bullpen game. But Dave Roberts says, no, hang on. Let's win this son of a biscuit tonight. Let's go win this thing tonight. Let's take home the dub tonight. Let's not worry about L.A. Let's beat them on their field. So he sends out Walker Buehler, who likely would have been the game 6 starter back in L.A. He goes, walk, go get this, big dog. Go make this happen. Go have your World Series moment, my man. And what did Walker Buehler do? He went out there and had his damn World Series moment. Finished up the ninth inning. Finished it up strong. Got the Yankees 1-2-3 down at the end. Ball game. Yankees down. Dodgers World Series champions. Phenomenal stuff, man. Baseball is the best. Baseball is the best, and now we all wait until February 20th when pitchers and catchers report. Hey, great one. How's it going, man? Happy day after the World Series. You don't have to be here about baseball until February.
I am I'm celebrating internally because I don't want to ruin your moment. I mean, your sport is done now, except for the awards that will happen in the next couple of weeks.
America's pastime is done for now.
No, not anymore. I mean, football is America's pastime now. Has been for quite some time. I don't know when baseball lost it, but it definitely lost it at some point.
pass time or past time? Because I can make the argument for either sport either way.
It's past time.
Right. Pass time or past time?
No, passing time is what you do if you watch baseball. Past time is what baseball used to be.
I mean, technically, it still is. It is. I believe the oldest organized professional sport.
The label is still there. The sentiment, I don't believe, is.
I don't know if that's true. We had 15 million people watching the game last night. I mean, I'm assuming the number's going to be 15 million. I'm going to guess it is. And granted, help out by the fact that
I didn't think
those
numbers were out so quick, but maybe
they're not. The game 1, 2, and 3 numbers were out, and all three of them were at or like right at or above 14.5 million, which is, I think, the third most watched World Series of this millennia so far. So 24 World Series, this was the third most watched. I'm not arguing that baseball turns NFL numbers. I'm not, but as I've been saying for years, the reports of the demise of Major League Baseball have been greatly exaggerated. The game is great right now.
Not saying any of that. I'm just saying it's not America's pastime. That's all I'm saying.
No, it is. It is. All right. We've got a lot to get to on the radio program today. We're going to talk quite a bit of World Series today. Busy day. Here's what we got. Lulu Kessin, 8 o'clock. Going to talk South Carolina Gamecocks with us as they get set and prepared to host the Cult of Texas A&M coming up this weekend, Saturday night. Unfortunately, Rashad Beard unable to join us today. He is back in the office, so he will move to tomorrow. We'll have Rashad at 8:40 tomorrow. However, at 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to have Doug Irwin, the CBO, Chris Lewis, the president of the Greenville Triumph. Because if you did not hear this, and I am quite excited to share it with you. Yesterday announced that at Bridgeway Station out in Malden, South Carolina, shout out to Malden SC. The Greenville Triumph in 2025, along with the city of Malden, the Bridgeway Center will begin construction on a new 10,000-seat professional soccer stadium that will be the home of the Greenville Triumph, the home of the Greenville Liberty, and the home of various other sporting events and activities around the year. The Triumph and the Liberty get a home stadium out in Malden at Bridgeway. We're going to talk about that with Doug and Joe coming up. Excuse me, with Doug and Chris coming up at 7 a.m. Lulu Kessin at 8. Mario at 9. Hayden S. Mario at 9. Fight Club at 9:20. That's all coming up today on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Stick around.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one Lonzo with you, or as we are known today, Robbie One Kenobi and Darth Lonzo. Happy Halloween, my dudes. I need you to know, great one, I got up this a.m. I went with, because, well, I wanted to, no other reason. I went with a full, for those of you who haven't checked out the stream yet, and you can, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch. We do a live stream that airs all 4 hours, all 5 days of the week. You hear like 99% of the same stuff that comes out on the radio. I got up this morning and went to, that looks so badass on camera, dude. So badass. I got up this morning. I decided to spend an exorbitant amount of money on a on a full Jedi Knight getup, right? Everything from the boots to the belt. I got the calf high boots and everything. All right, went all out. So I got up this morning at my regular getting ready time to put everything on, and first off, it took a hell of a lot longer than I thought it was going to. So Rob Brown was a little behind this AM, and that's okay. It was hashtag worth it. So I get ready, I leave the house, and I am very much pro Halloween costume guy. All right, I have fun. Who cares, right? I get up, I'm driving into the office, and I decide, you know what? I'm going to stop, and even though I'm going to be a little bit later than I already am, I'm going to stop and grab a monster on the way in. I stayed up late watching World Series baseball. I'm going to need a monster. So I stopped and I got one. And when I got out of the car, the gas station that I pop into in the mornings when I do decide to stop is at a pretty major intersection and is usually pretty busy. It was exceptionally busy this morning. I get out of the car, and again, adorned from hood of the robe down to calf-high boots as just a whole damn Jedi this morning. I get out of the car. I walk over and open the door, and there's got to be, I don't know, 16, 17 people in the gas station.
That's a lot for this time of morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more than usual. There's usually 8, 9, 10 people up in there.
Must
when
be a
I pass
busy
by.
Hub where you're stopping.
Well, it's at a major intersection, A, and B, there's like two or three like contractors and construction companies that are right there around there. So a lot of them are like day laborers, guys that are going out to do hard work while I come in here and talk about sports. But it also means very clearly, especially at this point, again, I was running late, like 5:15 in the morning. Obviously, no one else in any sort of costume. And I look as I open the door, and the place just quiet. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm wearing a floor-length robe and thigh-high boots. Think, that makes sense.
I think the move to make there is to do the Jedi mind trick. Just do your hands. And if they get it, you're good. And if they don't, they just think you're crazier than they already think.
What I did was I opened the door. I looked up. There were, of the people in there, like six or seven stopped and looked and gave me the old scan top to bottom. So I just reached back, grabbed the hood, and pulled it up and over the face, right? Walked around the gas station looking for my monster. Just straight up like Obi-Wan wandering the desert of Tatooine, right? Not half the face down, couldn't see anything. I can't see a damn thing out from that. Didn't care. Figured it out, all right? Felt my way through the gas station I go into every morning by using the Force, Luke. And when I got up to the gas station, to the cash register, right? I got my monster, and I walk up to the register. And again, there's still people in there, but nobody's talking. This young cat working the register, all right? I set my drink down, and he, like, leans around, and he looks at me, and then he doesn't say anything, and he takes the monster, and he scans it, and he sets it back down, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Where's the lightsaber, Doug? Where's the lightsaber, Doug?" And I was like, I don't have one. I don't have one. I haven't told this story, but long story short, I was going to order one. Like, Lonzo brought one in today. He brought in a Vader saber, and it's freaking fantastic, okay? So he goes, "Where's your lightsaber, Doc?" And I was like, "I don't have one, dude. I was going to get one," and because I felt the need to explain the full story to him like I do right now, I told him. I said, you know, just got married. The wife told me when I turned 40 in February that we could go down to Star Wars Land in Disney to celebrate, right? We're going to fly down to Orlando, hang out for a couple of days, and when we get down there, I'm going to go build a lightsaber, customized lightsaber. And he looks and he goes, "Why didn't you get one for Halloween too?" I was like, all right, that's a valid point. So this kid, he's probably like 23 years old, 24 years old, straight up calls me out for having the full Jedi costume, but not a lightsaber. But as I'm walking out the door, he says, "May the Force be with you." And I was like, yeah, the kids are all right, man. The The kids are all right, man.
That's good. This costume was not what I planned on wearing. So, I mean, but when you told me what you were wearing, I'm like, okay, I know that my son has part of this. So I borrowed part of it from him. So the lightsaber is his. And yes, he spent a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to take it. I'm like, I really did. He's like, if you're going to wear the thing, you got to take the.
Hell yeah.
I'm afraid I'll break it because I know how much he paid for it. And
I think those things are meant to be dueled.
No, it is a training sword. Yeah, that's what he told me. Yeah. He's like, Dad, come on.
Yeah.
If someone else had one, you guys could fight.
I've got a buddy up in Charlotte that I actually was trying to connect to borrow one. I've got him up in Charlotte, huge Star Wars guy, right? Like one of these cats that he's like me, he doesn't have kids, not going to have them. But like if he did, he's the dude that would 100% name his son Luke, all right, or his daughter Leia. He's just that guy. He has on in his, and he's got a keeper of a wife, in their living room, over their mantle, though, he doesn't have a lightsaber display, all right? He has a custom-built frame that is built to the exact side of his mantle, and inside of it, he has a replica of the hilt of every lightsaber. He has Darth's hilt, Obi-Wan's hilt, Luke's hilt, first and second, Ahsoka's hilt, Darth Maul's hilt, the dual saber. He's got every major character that had their Mace Windu, every major character that had their own lightsaber in the entirety of Star Wars, up to and including the dark saber for Mandalorian. He has a replica of every one of them all displayed in the living room of his house. And he has the blades that you can plug in to activate them and use them. It's nasty.
It sounds really cool. It does. By the way, I'm so committed to what I'm doing, and no one will really notice this unless you look really close. I spent over an hour just layering latex on my face last night to the degree that I had to sleep with latex on my face. And parts of it are peeling off, which is what I wanted it to do because the effects of the dark side will do that to you.
Of course.
Hopefully my face will completely peel off in hour number four. So you have that to look forward to.
I think I'm just going to go walk circles in the hallway. I will say this. There is only one issue because, yes, I do look cool. Thank you. There's only one issue, great one, which is going to the bathroom in this thing is going to be a mother.
Oh, that's fun for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a mother.
I'm just trying to keep the robes from getting caught under the wheels of the chair, which has already happened 3 or 4 times now. And I'm wearing gloves, and I wanted to see if I can actually run the show with gloves on. So far,
so good. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. We got a lot to get to. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because I just want to bring this up in that I think it's going to be a fun follow. Juan Soto from the New York Yankees is expected to be arguably the biggest name to hit free agency in Major League Baseball. Last night, his team, the New York Yankees, lost the World Series. The Dodgers had a 5-run comeback, the longest comeback to clinch a World Series in postseason history. Pretty spectacular run, okay? Juan Soto was expected to be a free agent. My dude wasted no time in building the hype wagon. This dude did not go in the locker room and be like, yeah, I'm sad. I'm not talking about free agency tonight. I'll worry about it later. This dude went in the locker room, grabbed a mic, and said, hey, I'm excited about free agency. This is going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. I think every player in the league wants to be able to do this once in their career. And I am willing to listen to offers from everyone today. I'm willing to listen to offers from everybody. I love that my dude didn't say, I want to mourn the loss. I'm going to go be sad for a couple of days. I'm going to go chill and let this feeling pass, you know, get to tomorrow and worry about it then. Nope. Dude's like, yeah, we just lost the World Series. That sucks. I'd like to be rich now, please and thank you. Somebody pay me. I'm a free agent, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Spectacular, dude. That's so much fun. But it does lead me to another conversation. Are rivalries dead now? Because I heard an argument from a football player yesterday that said rivalries are dead. And I want to get to that coming up in a few minutes on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Happy Halloween, dudes and dudettes. Happy spooky season, my friends. I agree, man. I don't like, Lonzo knows this, unfortunately more than anybody else. I do not like being jump scared. I'm a psychological scare guy, all right? I'm a murder mystery scare guy more than I am a, you know, Freddy Jason jumping out from behind the file cabinet scare guy. I love Halloween, dude. I love Halloween. It's my favorite. It's the best. It's just exploring the morbid and the macabre. I'm intrigued. I'm interested in it.
It's been a difficult life for me since Rob got here because I jump scare people naturally. And so going out of my way to try to not do it, it's a struggle every day.
It's appreciated. Chris doesn't do it intentionally, but nobody does it more than Chris. That man is just, I feel like he lives to stand around corners. You open a bathroom door, there's Chris. I turn the corner from our hallway out into the main hallway, there's Chris. I don't know how he does it. He's got a knack for just being in the right place in the right time to make me nearly crap my pants. It's unbelievable.
He's like a cat. He is.
I'm going to call him that the rest of the day. So here's a question. As we found out yesterday that Bryce Young will be getting the nod for the Carolina Panthers coming up this Sunday when they host our New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr, by the way, back in the mix. He'll be playing this Sunday, his return from the oblique injury that he suffered 4 weeks ago. Bryce Young will be getting the nod. And there was an interesting discussion going around the league right now. These are the list of quarterbacks. This is a list of quarterbacks under 26 years old active in the National Football League right now. Anthony Richardson, 22 years old, benched. Bryce Young, 23 years old, benched. Trey Lance, 24 years old, traded and then benched. Justin Fields, 25 years old, traded and then benched. Will Levis, 25 years old, benched. Zach Wilson, 25 years old, benched. Mac Jones, 26 years old, traded and then benched. Kenny Pickett, 26 years old, traded and then benched.
I think there should be an asterisk by Justin Fields because out of all those guys, he was actually winning when he got benched. All those other guys, they were not.
So you and I just aren't going to see eye to eye on this. Justin Fields was playing good enough football. Justin Fields wasn't winning games for the Bears.
Dude, they were 4-2. They were 4-2. So yeah, he was winning games.
They were winning games. Mm-hmm. The Steelers' run game behind Najee Harris was winning games. Mm-hmm. The Steelers' defense was winning games. This is very much the Tebow phenomenon when Tebow fans were up in here going, oh, he's winning games. No. He's playing good enough to not lose games.
Hey, Rob, you had to choose between Tebow and Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, and it's not close.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
But that's not asking much.
But you're going to compare them, and you should not because Justin Fields, much better thrower of the ball than Tim Tebow.
Oh, you mean I'm going to compare him? No, I'm not. You just asked me that. No, I'm not comparing him.
Because you did. You said he's like Tim Tebow.
I said his fans are acting like the Tebow fans in that you're wanting to credit Steelers wins to Justin Fields. And I'm telling you, Justin Fields wasn't winning the games. He was playing well enough not to lose the games. There's a difference.
That's such a weird argument. It really is. I don't get it.
Right, because
I don't know. So you just don't like the guy because I do?
No. I mean, I like Justin Fields a lot. What I'm not going to do, and I don't do this with any athlete. I do this with Saints fans about Derek Carr all the damn time. I know I've been making the jokes for a couple of years now about future first ballot Hall of Famer Derek Carr. Just so we're all clear, I don't think that that's true. It's a joke. Ha ha, la 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 lulz. Funny. All right? What I'm saying here
Wait. You're a knower of ball. That's what you said all this time. So when you say something, we non-knowers of ball take it as gospel. So you were joshing us all this time.
I sure was. Because the only thing I know better than ball is how to be a smartass. I'm very good at it. I hide it sometimes, but I'm very good at it. Regardless of whether you think it was Justin Fields winning games for Pittsburgh or not. And again, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. They're not a quarterback stat. They should not be considered a quarterback stat. Regardless how you feel about it, the reality is since Russell Wilson made his way back into the mix 2 games ago, the Steelers' offense is better now. It's better. They put up 225 yards in the first half. Granted, only 9 points. But at the end of the day, Russell can't finish drives by himself.
Strength of opponent.
Absolutely valid argument. Absolutely valid argument. Let's not pretend the Steelers didn't play, only played all Pro Bowl defenses the first, 5 weeks of the season? And they did.
Then they played the Jets and the Giants.
There was no games anywhere that Justin Fields was even in the ballpark of what Russell Wilson did with his arm. But this isn't a Justin Fields-Russell Wilson segment. It's a segment of Richardson, Young, Lance Fields, Levis, Wilson, Jones, Pickett. These are 8 of the most highly... And by the way, we can add other guys in there. I can add Trevor Lawrence to this conversation. Does anybody believe that Trevor Lawrence has reached the top of the pinnacle, the zenith of his abilities?
I think he's right about where I thought it would be.
That is true. You were not super high on him coming into this. But if I look up and down the list of starting quarterbacks right now, and we take into consideration guys that are a few years out, let's say 5. Let's say guys that have been drafted within the last 5 or, hell, 6 years. Who would we say has been truly successful? C.J. Stroud won the division in his first year. That's successful. Are we ready to say that Bo Nix is successful right now?
What's the record?
The Broncos are a game over 500 or right at it. Let's see. The Broncos right now, I don't have it memorized off the top of my head. I should. The Broncos are 5-3, 2 games over .500. Let's see. Trevor Lawrence, will we say he scratched the top? I would say no.
He did make it to the playoffs.
He did.
And won a playoff game.
He did?
Well, no, he didn't. The team he was on did because wins or losses are not determined by the quarterback.
Correct. Correct. I'm glad you've come around on that. Welcome to the right side of the force. Caleb Williams in Chicago, getting better week by week. I'm not going to say he's successful yet, but he's getting better week by week. He's just on a team that's coached like booty cheeks.
I finally get what this is all about, but go ahead.
No, you don't. Hang with me. Jake Haener down in New Orleans, only starting because Derek Carr's there, and actually, no, he's not anymore because Derek Carr's coming back this weekend. And Jaden Daniels. I'd say Jaden Daniels, of all the rookies that came out last year, is the one that we could say, that guy's successful already.
And who told us that was going to happen?
Me, because I know ball.
Like I said, I knew where this was headed.
No, that's not. It's not a bad... I promise you this isn't a Jaden Daniels and how right I was about him segment. It is a segment where I am going to say I absolutely believe that the NFL has a quarterback development problem. I think the NFL has a quarterback development program.
Can't you blame this on college, though? Because the colleges are not preparing them enough for the NFL. It's not their job to do that. I'm well aware of that. Their job is to win games. And obviously, these guys who are playing won games in college or they wouldn't be where they are in the NFL. I think the blame can go back to college also.
I don't, because of what you led that off with. It ain't their job. Now, I will say this. If you are a college program, dumb as hell if you're not doing that, right? Because if you got a 5-star quarterback coming up out of high school looking for somewhere to go play ball, and you can say, we've sent 7, 8, 9, 12, 11, 35 NFL quarterbacks to the league, and they're all successful because we develop them as NFL quarterbacks at the college level, obviously that's going to help you with recruiting. But at the end of the day, it ain't your job to do that. Dating back to 2020, here's every quarterback that was drafted, let's say, Zoe, what's fair, inside the top 4 rounds, 5 rounds? Successful, yes or no? I'm going to say Caleb Williams, don't know yet. Jaden Daniels, yes. Drake May, don't know yet. Michael Penix Jr., don't know yet. J.J. McCarthy, don't know yet. Bo Nix, borderline. Spencer Rattler drafted in the 5th round. he plays for Dennis Allen. I'm not going to hold it against him. 2023, Bryce Young, absolutely not. C.J. Stroud, absolutely. Anthony Richardson, no. Will Levis, no. Hendon Hooker, not yet. Haven't gotten a chance yet. 2022, Kenny Pickett, no. Desmond Ridder, no. Malik Willis, no. Matt Corral, no. Bailey Zappe, no. These are all fifth rounder better. 2021, Trevor Lawrence, no. Zach Wilson, no. Trey Lance, no. Justin Fields, no. Mac Jones, no. 2020, Joe Burrow, yes. Tua Tagovailoa, yes. Justin Herbert, I'd say borderline, but he was also, much like Caleb Williams, on a booty cheeks coach team with the Chargers. Not going to hold it against him. Jordan Love, yes. Jalen Hurts, sure.
All right, some of these that you threw in there, I disagree with. Jordan Love, sample size, not big enough. And has he been successful? We don't know. He hasn't been on the field that much. Keeps getting hurt.
I mean, made it to the playoffs and beat the Cowboys on the road last year.
No, his team did. Tua. I mean.
Bravo. Well done.
Again.
Bills, that felt good, didn't it?
I am playing the dark side today, so I'm basically you every day. Tua, I can't put him in there either.
I'm fine with that. I'm fair with that. Let's say 2-0. He is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. We do know that. Thanks, Reek. So, however you want to look at it.
Why didn't you put Patrick Mahomes in there?
Guys drafted since 2020.
Oh, okay.
I was just going last four seasons, okay. Last four drafts.
All right. And to be honest, every year, the last few years, especially the last 2 years, and maybe going into the next year, you're looking at the next crop of quarterbacks and going, eh.
I'll tell you what. That's interesting. Let's go back. 2019, Kyler Murray. No, not yet. Does look better this year. Even you have to admit, Kyler Murray looks better this year.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray looks better this year. Daniel Jones, no. Dwayne Haskins, I don't even know where that guy is anymore. Drew Locke, Will Greer. No success in 2019. 2018, Baker Mayfield. Yes, but only recently. Sam Darnold, yes, but only recently. Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, no, yes and no. Lamar Jackson, yes. Mason Rudolph, as a career backup, sure. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, no. Patrick Mahomes, yes. Deshaun Watson, initially, but it's cratered. Deshaun Kaiser, Davis Webb, no. Here's my point here. There is, I think, a quarterback development problem.
By the way, Rob forgot that Dwayne Haskins passed away.
Oh, damn. You're right. Yeah. Good save. Thank you very much. I forgot. He got hit by a car. You're right. Terrible story. I need you to hang on to this commercial for just a second with me here. Great one. Because I just... All right, I'm going to catch you next time it comes on. One of our coworkers just starred in that commercial. A very bearded, medium shirt-wearing coworker of ours.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And his way outkicked his coverage better half. Just starred in that car commercial.
Oh, like you haven't done that sort of thing before.
No, I absolutely have. Literally for that same company, I was already in a TV commercial. But, you know, it doesn't make me not excited to see my buddy Diesel on TV.
So you were just pointing out that you did it first.
No, I was pointing out that I saw my friend on TV. Here it is. Is this the same commercial? I think it is. Did we miss him?
No, I didn't see him.
Hang on. Sorry, yes, I am. There's one of our friends. There he is! Over there! He's on TV for...
Wow.
0.7 seconds!
I used to say, it wasn't even a full second.
They featured his wife, and the guy selling them the car was standing in front of Diesel. His head pops out for 0.7 seconds, and then they cut him out of the commercial. Oh, man. What was that?
Would you call that a cameo?
I would say absolutely. At best, that's a cameo. Okay. Right. Honestly, if that was a movie, he didn't hit his SAG quota to get a credit, is what that was. All right. Here's the point. I want to come back to this coming up a little later in the show. We do have Doug Irwin and Chris Lewis joining us in the next segment to talk a little bit about the Triumph Stadium, which is very exciting stuff, to be honest. Very exciting stuff. We'll talk to them next. I think there's a development problem in the NFL, because here's the thing. When I go down the list of guys drafted inside of the top five, how many of them would you say were given any time to grow? Caleb Williams, thrown in immediately. Jaden Daniels, immediately. Drake May was not. But Drake May, I don't want to give the Patriots too much credit here. They didn't sit Drake May so he could develop behind Jacoby Brissett. They sat Drake May so he wouldn't die behind that offensive line. He played 2 weeks. What happened to Drake May? He died behind the offensive line.
He's not. He's just.
He's not actually dead.
Yeah, he's not.
He got his bell wrong. He's out, probably. Michael Penix Jr., and here's the thing. If Michael Penix Jr. plays behind Kirk Cousins for a year, maybe two, and then he comes out and he's a good quarterback, will we finally acknowledge that throwing rookies to the Wolves maybe ain't the best idea, even if your team stinks? Maybe throwing rookies to the Wolves is actually a real good way to not succeed? J.J. McCarthy out for the season, same story.
Yeah, there are exceptions, but they're very, very few.
Exactly.
Like one or two.
Yeah. I mean, at the most of every draft, at the most, if you're looking at quarterbacks, take it in the first five rounds. There's only at the most two from any given year that we would say that's a successful quarterback. And there's only like one year where there were two, right? There were some years like 2022, Pickett, Willis, Corral, Zappe, Howell, Oladukin, Thompson, and Brock Purdy. And he was drafted in the seventh round. Like, let's not pretend that was anything.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
He was.
Yeah.
So I really think any given year you look at, and this is why I'm only going one through five, because like five is where you take a project quarterback, Spencer Rattler. Everybody else, you ain't there. I think the NFL's got a quarterback development problem. And I think the just law of averages says out of all these quarterbacks we mentioned, from 2020 to today, there's been something like 80 quarterbacks drafted. There's been like five we would say is successful. That's not good. I think the NFL has a quarterback development problem, and I want to talk a little bit about that later in the show. But again, coming up in the next segment, we're going to be joined by the chief branding officer of the Greenville Triumph and Liberty, Doug Irwin, and the president of the Greenville Liberty and Triumph, Chris Lewis, to talk about the enormous announcement they made yesterday. Those two teams getting a stadium coming up here in just a couple of years. We'll talk to them next. That's after Darth Alonso reads this Sports Flash.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are your 2024 World Series champions after taking Game 5 from the New York Yankees 7-6 and claiming the series 4-1. New York led by 5 going into the fifth inning, but committed multiple mistakes that allowed the Dodgers to tie the game. New York took the lead back in the sixth, but a pair of Dodgers runs in the eighth sealed the win. The comeback was the largest single-game comeback in modern World Series history. Former Brave Freddie Freeman was awarded series MVP after tying the series record for most RBIs with a dozen. The Charlotte Hornets improved to 2-2 with a 138-133 win over the Toronto Raptors last night. The Buzz scored at least 30 points in all four quarters. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels take on the Bowling Springs Bulldogs right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.